Hello there.
Hey.
Like, welcome back.
Welcome back to Heyoka King Podcast. You already know how it is and what's going down. Me, your host, same guy as always the host. Same name, same game. Ryder King, the Heyoka King. The king is the Heyoka. A Heyoka, not the, there's more than one. But his last name is King. So he's the Heyoka King. And this is a podcast. Yeah. And you're welcomed back. I don't even know if you can get high off weed resin, but I ran out. So I am hitting the smoke of death. Yeah. It's been a while. I don't know how long, probably like a month or two. But I'm here right now to let you know. Hang loose. You ever been trying to understand the whole structure of it all, you know? Because as a person, you know, you start out young, you go into a job. You'll go into a job and you'll notice, wait a second. Everyone's kind of fucked up, and they break the rules. So as long as I don't say nothing when I see other people break the rules, I too can break the rules. Because you get the scene that they make life kind of an impoverished hell for most people. You know, so if you have the most, you get the most out of it every second, like at your job and other shit, you know, you develop the cool personality to just go places and do things and have fun and not worry if you're going to get in trouble at your job. You know, you get stressed out working at a grocery store. Try coming in the one day and steal a half loaf of bread. You know, just put it in a bag. Buy yourself, like, some Boston baked beans and throw that shit right... You know what I'm talking about? Right in the bag. Act like you bought the lot. You just saved yourself like $2 on the whole loaf of bread, dog. This is a half Italian. This is a half Italian bread. You know, you gotta ask yourself, is this thing really worth two whole dollars? My managers are like, hey, come in to work. Every day we need help. And then it's like the one time where like attendance and all that really matters. They don't want you to get that full 40 hours and they make sure they get as many hours as possible. And then they get a performance review on all of your work after they don't clock out and just get to stay on the clock and go home. And then they get all these extra hours and shit. Wild. Imagine working a 18-hour shift. You know, 16-hour shift. Fuck. Making a 16-hour shift. This 18's illegal, but 16 ain't that bad. You know, 16's about as legal as you can get it. You know, some places you literally can't work more than 16 hours in one day. It's illegal. But, you know, some places will literally let you slide with that shit. You know, they'll just take the hours and put them on a different day. So you're sitting there, you're working 16 hours, and you see they only clock you for 10? Like, you got clock in time, and
on the cameras, you doing all this work, and they're going to chip you 6 hours, she take it out of corporate. And you tell them the truth. You say, listen, I may be a knucklehead, but I ain't no wise guy. You can look on the fucking CTV recording live footage you got in other databases, and you can see me working in and out all night long. You know, I get there, understaffed, people sick, people call it out. You know, you got to level the playing field, not just your job and everything. We'll start out with job as an example. So if you're sitting there, you're playing with the playing field, your manager and shit, and the higher-ups and all that, and be like, listen, I come to work, and you got all these people falling out, you got managers just sitting in their car for an hour smoking a cigarette, and I'm sitting here doing all this fucking work, and you're going to jib me 6 hours? I'm sorry. I don't think so. And if the corporate people won't do it, then I'll just go to the Board of Labor Laws. Let's see what they have to say. If that doesn't happen, then I guess we're going to just have to make a case in court. Do you know what I mean? Give me the hours I want, or use my definitive proof and my knowledge of the events that have forsworn, and maybe we won't have to get dirty. Because let me tell you something. When I was a kid, you'd catch me jumping in the puddles and rolling in the mud. I was looking for beetles. I was climbing trees, covering myself in sap and getting allergic reactions. Do you know what I mean? You can't fucking scare me, buddy. I've been bit by fucking 4 Dalmatians. And I'll tell you this. When you're 12 years old and you're just knocking on the door to play some Halo 3 with your buddies, and these fucking, the horde of the Dalmatians just come jumping, not just to the screen door, but the glass door. Like 4 of them. They're like Doberman Pinschers, but they're just, like, if you take a Doberman Pinscher and then you take a Greyhound and you fucking combine those into one animal and then make it white with black spots, there you go. And that's a Dalmatian. And these things jump through the screen and through the glass, and then they bite me on my ass. And I rang the doorbell. I didn't press no charges or nothing. But to be honest, I haven't looked at my ass since. I don't know if there's, like, still bites. Those dogs are just like in the movie 100 Dalmatians. You know, that's not an act. That's just how it is. They are wild like that. They are very... I mean, I got all those big fucking mutts. The mutts are... You know, I like hounds. I'm a hound dog. I ain't a mutt dog. Mutts are rascals. Mutts cause issues, you know? The hound is basically the same thing with a mutt. But a hound is like, you know, what would happen if my German shepherd had sex with a bandit schnoodle? And then that thing's baby needed baby with, you know, a border collie. I don't know. When you have the offspring, it's a sort of friendly thing that likes to play ball and sit outside on the porch and not run away. And that's what I'm talking about. But these Dalmatians come running out of hell. Same structure, man. I've been getting fucked up my entire life because of just too wrong, stepping on the wrong spot, and I fucking slip. But let me tell you something. I bounce back into shape. Pretty nice. Pretty good. You can call me evil. You can call me good. Call me the exceptions of inebriations in your life. You live life catatonically with self-pleasures and manifest euphoria in your brain stream and your mainstream, your mind and in your soul, your body that's a catalyst. Rot, death, and sin. You enjoy every minute of it. I'm not going to lie. They present a lot in media. You know, I grew up, you got that show, Zoe 101 with Britney Spears' cousin, Jamie Lynn Spears. And you got that dude, Chase, you know, the dude that's liked her the whole show.
And they give you a poor example of what being a man is. Because in no way was that dude ever assertive. I bet 100% on my balls that if he were to say, hey, you know how I'm a pretty cool guy and I'm your friend? Do you like me? Because I think that you're quite fine. Like right away at the beginning, probably, I mean, he went the entire show watching her. I don't know if she dated anybody else, but you know, he went the entire show just being like simping over this girl and just doing all these weird things to get closer to her rather than just trying to get close to her in person. And that's the obstructive nonsense that they teach you. I've had more success in life with love just communicating with people right from the get-go. And it's like, here's my goal and the rule that I found in life. Someone be walking up to you and telling you how things are going to be and you tell them no, you know, it's a contraceptive thought. No. You keep pushing it, walk away. Slowing on out of there. I haven't met too many bad people, but I've met a lot of people that thought that they were more bad than they actually were. I'll say that. I will say that fondly. Put yourself in life objectively. Find yourself. Cataclysm, taking advantage of the moment. Embracing your image, embracing your personality, or your might, your morale. Take camaraderie with confidence. Numbers will grow, but not only just the numbers, but the adequacy, the quality. Quantity necessarily isn't an issue. Just most people waste their time with dumb people that ain't got nothing to do besides chill. Rather than people that got it all done and now need something to do besides just to hang out. The amount of times I've been in the dumps with people that have fucking stepped on cans and then smoked weed out of a fucking can. But there's easier ways, man. There's so much easier ways than smoking out of a tinfoil can, man. Smoked out of just tinfoil. Might have made me a little dumb with the stardust, but I'll tell you this much. I've smoked out of copper, I've smoked out of iron, I've smoked out of bronze. And I will tell you boldly enough, I've smoked out of lead-infused iron. Why? Because I'm a gnarly earth side, man. For some conjecture, I was always under the impression that I had a better singing voice with a proper vocal strain and, you know, note extension, endurance, whatever you want to call it, my longevity of holding a note. You know, I can hold my notes better after smoking American Spirit Wax, standing, being pumped up, moving around, and just acting like I'm Trent Reznor and fucking screaming fucking lyrics. Emotionally ups and downs, what's going on in the story? Yeah, I can say this much. When it comes to doing any kind of vocal training, I'm one of those dudes that can do 1,000 vocal punches, kicks, and same notes until I find it a little bit more pristine. Won't need as much legwork with the effects. Mostly in effects, I like leveling. I like it being mixed properly with the highs and lows of the track. I don't have any real issues because I put in practice. You know, it's not that difficult for people to sing. It's just people are often put into awkward situations where they feel uncomfortable practicing. But if you do it, you can make money doing music. You can make money painting. You can make money fertilizing grass and laying down flower beds for people, an elaborate garden and mulching it and using cobblestones. Imagine just, you can lay some bricks, and I'm not going to lie, if you'd be paying attention, you can lay down some stones, do some mason work, solid half an hour. 2 hours tops, you can have a whole walkway mulched up, you know, maybe throw another hour on top of that, and you could have interlacing shrubberies. You know, you do that, and maybe lay down some flower beds and some grass beds for somebody who wanted to redo their yard, and you can make it big fucking bucks. Imagine getting paid $55,000, $85,000 to do 32 by 2,800 square feet of property. Just doing that. Just redoing it. And they charge that much. And all you have to do is just understand properly where to put the legwork in. Two, push the grass and flower beds, mulches to the stones, dividers. Put in the fencing if needed. On top of that, then you just need to lay the stones. There's a lot of good way, throw down some kitty litter, some dirt, and then on top of that, throw down gravel padding. You know, that shit pretty nice, conforms to the ground pretty well when it gets wet. Then on top of that, lay down your stones, then you go inside and all the grout, and then go outside that, go deeper, maybe lay down some grout and then stones on top of that first. And then, you know, piece it all together with a fine puzzle. Connect that down, and you can get a whole yard probably 6 to 8 hours if you have like two people helping you out, honestly. Think of that money doing anything if you just put in the legwork. You know what I mean? Think of it as like you have to seek the dexterity movements for different applications, and then, you know, let's say you get like a level 1 mastery, like you can get a level 1 green thumb in life, and probably like 2 or 3 days you get level 1 green thumb. If you put in your work, you get a level 2 in 2 weeks from start, and if you really put in your work in a month or like 6 weeks, you could have a level 3 green thumb, and then at that point you could do all sorts of bullshit. I mean, I just got my level 4 green thumb. You know what's cool about that? A lot of plants can just be inner-rooted very easily in one single nodule root. Plants aren't even that difficult to take care of if you just know how to connect the sine waves of different mito movements, communicated between the movements of the sino experimental empathy waves that the tree releases, and then you just have to sync yourself with those waves, and then you can communicate. If it truly needs water, you can communicate a lot with the plant, you know what I mean? And then it's like, fuck, I get my level 5 green thumb, I'll be able to graft. You know how cool grafting is? I'm not going to lie, I did a lot of the missions, but I failed growing mint. That's one that I've been struggling with. It's like an herb that I know needs the dark and doesn't need to be with any other herbs, because the other herbs eat it. Makes other herbs are like acidic or something to the mint, or maybe it's the other way around. But God, I really want to just try to perfectively grow mint. The great thing is the longer you have a plant grown, the more that you could have like an indefinite like level to your ability at that moment.
Because you can always, like, fall out of mastery by not doing shit properly. You do the proper legwork with your relationship, with your job, with communicating with people. People want to be around someone friendly and inviting and helpful. It's as simple as it is. You never have an enemy if you don't seem like you're not willing to be a team player. You're not trying to help people. You're trying to be a team player. You're trying to be part of the clan, the group, the club, the squad, you know, your comrades. Comrades just naturally. It's not like fixed things. You're not bigoted. You're not biased. And if you confront people like that, come on, what's up? I'm just trying to help out. It was fun. Maybe I do this for me, helping out other people. That's something sick in my head. And then you just do some cool, fancy spins into the gateway of the wormhole that allows you to sequence yourself one side of the building, probably like 200 feet away, instantly. It's always fun to spook people out with this one. I'm not saying, like, that magic doesn't exist. It's just people don't try to do anything magical. People use wordplay and that, you know, metaphors more than they try to actually bring it into the world. So, you know, a lot of people can't do magic shit. But remember, the church specifically says not do divination. But they do divination. But the truth about it is that they don't want you doing divination because it's dangerous. And often, a lot of people use divination incorrectly and wrong. I mean, here's the one thing. They don't want you doing a divination, but then you become a member with the church. Now you're doing divination, and now it's okay? No. It's not that you can't do divination. It's that you can't do it bad. And that's not good, you know? Obviously, you use yourself as a catalyst and curse yourself and hex yourself. The stipulations can be a little bit more beneficial in your favor by how it affects the world around you using yourself as a catalyst. But as catastrophically dark as that is, it's still quite neutral because you're using yourself as the catalyst. Now, if you use yourself as catalyst for self-gain, then that's more chaotic dark, and that's not good. You know, it's not necessarily infernal dark, you know, chaotic infernal or chaotic evil or anything like that, but you know, it's still pretty good to say that doing the divination upon yourself for the infliction, for a sort of a inverse to debuff, I don't know, an inverse buff. I don't know, there's certain things that apply to it that make things more beneficial, obviously, if you don't directly try to use divination on other people for your own personal gain and to misfortune them. You know, honestly, if you use your energy for other people, you're gifted, obviously, the confidence to open more gateways deeper into it. If you just use shit poorly and wrong, it gets taken away from you. But also on top of that, you've become a hollowed monster. A strange beast that's not good and very mean. You'll be powerful, but you'll be snarling. You'll slowly lose your control in yourself to a different side of you. A side of you that's probably primordial to all of us, but somehow exists upon the life souls and secondary conduit as a passenger, a parasite connected to the life soul. This being connects to all things in this universe of reality, this whole universe here. And I'd say it's just as easy to believe that it exists in the alternate universes springing adjacently that give up and take between ours and other ones. See, the true gyrography of this is that nature moves in sort of triple moving motion with all things, ripples and overlapping and falling in upon itself.
and as the poles and tides sink and bellow upon the universe, it sort of makes constant centripetal collisions in all things. All things are just spherical energy waves that aren't true spheres, but have, you know, the radial movements and area, circumference area, to move in these chaotic formats. And it just moves, sort of like giant gravity wells, the denser the energies become. And those gravity wells have the density, which is called a graviton. A graviton is the measurement of mass equal to the pressure of the weight towards the center of its mass. Constantly, things will magnetize things towards its center. And you know, the larger the mass, the more of the ripple of time effect that it has. So if you have a way to displace some of your living in energy by falling more into the profane and infernal arts for self-inhibition, then you do things by afflicting yourself with the membrane that will allow you to duality frame shift your celestial body, which allows a very acute but a substantial amount for how it affects you in life. A very acute amount of your mass is divided equally between this realm of reality and a random adjacent universe for a small amount of time. Your energy is there and their energy is here, which creates some sort of small energy movement that kind of moves in the same gyrovular motion. This allows you to create a field of ineptitude in your energy. Basically, walking 1 mile per hour in your reality, you're actually walking 1.2 miles per hour or 1.3 miles per hour. So if you're going like 2, you're going a little bit faster. You have the ability to implement your mass with your celestial framework shifting, which can be done very easily by the proper use and manipulation of your breathing patterns. Allows you to fall into a state docile, closer to the spirit and celestial body. The celestial body unlocks the deeper frame shift. The deeper frame shift allows you, obviously, to create your own enhanced gravitons or decrease them. You can become denser. You know, more stability, better footing, or you can become, you know, that ineptitude field allows you to push yourself slightly faster with the effort that you would be using if you didn't actively try to do this at the moment. Less energy. So you can just go a little faster and you can make yourself more stable. But that is a good discovery. And if I'm being praised, at least I can prove myself with field research and testing with other people. So, I don't know. You know, reality is a very expungent thing when it comes to realizing a lot of people think that we're rivals in the competition. We're putting each other down and saying that ideas are dim-witted and hate. Honestly, it's something we do. Stop our own rivalry, I suppose. If you believe in that sort of thing. But regardless of this all nonsense going on, it is 12th of August, 2024. This is, you know, Kayoka King podcast saying, yo, slinging and doigin. Follow those Bad Weekend Productions for all material we'd be working on. Not gonna lie. Chip, chip.